Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 6th on the West Coast, or May the 7th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. Good morning to you folks. Well, lots going on in the world. Nothing's really letting up. The behind-the-scenes story is that the World Court is investigating the finances that are being withheld, embezzled, or diverted, stashed in foreign bank accounts. And I read something early this evening, just before going on the air, that the head demon has been warned to that it's probably in his best interest to leave the country, and it was recommended he go to Paraguay. That might give you an idea who the head demon might be. More, hopefully, on that story tomorrow. In the meantime, there are other issues coming out. There have been a series of grand jury indictments, which are in the making. One in particular was served over 6 weeks ago to Barack Obama, and he didn't respond, which is, in essence, an admission of guilt. And this has to do with the turning over of his certificate of live birth and other types of records. AmericanGrandJury.org is actually the organization behind this movement to get grand jury indictments and investigations going, and first the investigations, which are generally called informations, take place, and then after these are heard, the grand jury then decides whether or not there's enough evidence to actually present an indictment. So this is going to get pretty interesting. I understand a town in Georgia, I think it's Stockbridge, Georgia, has handed down such an indictment, or they are about to, and there are several other parts of the country where this is occurring, in various states, even in Columbus, Ohio, or near Columbus, in Blacklick, Ohio, they've handed or formed a grand jury, which I understand is about to come up with a similar indictment, for fraud and treason. And I question if one can commit treason if they're not a citizen. So that is an issue, and I presume that would be found out. It's determined, or it's been determined by American grand jury, that the discovery phase of the case is basically where the case is going to be decided. That there will be so much of a furor over the information that either is coming out or is not coming out that this is the beginning of the end, and it's the change that now we can all anticipate with bated breath. That said, I would like to bring on tonight's guest. He has a great website, educate-yourself.org. And he is a researcher, a journalist, the editor and webmaster of that site. He's got a musical background, background in metaphysics and healing and all kinds of interesting off-the-shelf devices for healing and well-being. And he is a frequent guest on Evident Footprints and is going to be with us a few times again this month. My good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, and I look forward to another chat.
Well, I don't know if you've heard anything about these grand jury indictments. Of course, you know, we can count on the mainstream media for that, for that news not getting out, right? And the same with the finances. Although there are a few mainstream writers and reporters now hinting that there may be something afoot with the economy and investigations into corruption in high places. And I know you and I and some others have been following this like crazy, and now all the puzzle pieces are coming together, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. What I have observed for the last 15 years or so, as I mentioned in earlier conversations, I wasn't aware of the New World Order agenda until about 1994. That's when, through reading books, I became aware of what's going on. And once I knew the story, I read a great deal, because naturally once you realize something, you have an insight, a realization as important as this, then you want to ramp up fast. You know, this isn't something that you want to slowly, you know, play with. Once you realize that you've been duped all your life and you've been brainwashed, et cetera. So I was anxious to learn a lot quickly, so I read a lot of books. And I did come up to speed rather quickly, and so that by 1996, I was writing really what began as a letter to a relative, which I eventually wound up sending to about 100 relatives or so, that essentially gave them my overview of the New World Order. It's too important. I thought they should know this too. And I was concerned about other things at the time. At the time, I thought or believed that Planet X was going to roll through the solar system in 2003. So I thought it was, you know, my duty to say something to them so that at least they would be aware of what I found out and decide whether they wanted to act on it or not. So that's how I started the process. And I started the website around 1996. It was the same year that I began. And I changed the domain name to educate-yourself.org in 1998. So if you do a search on the Wayback Machine or something, you'll see that it starts from 98 forward. But actually, I did start the website 2 years before that in 96, but I was under the subdomain of another server. Anyway, what I've noticed that is that people in the mainstream, from reporters to writers, magazine writers, to people you see on television talk shows, political talk shows, etc., they are all at different levels of understanding of what's going on in the world. And because it's detrimental to their career if they go too far out of the bounds, many of them will keep their conversation within certain acceptable corridors of conventional politics, conservative versus liberal, Republicans, Democrats, yada, yada, yada. And however, many of them know that it's darker than that, but they don't want to go there because they don't want to upset their financial apple cart, particularly if they're in TV or if they're making money from this. And of course, if they're working for a mainstream Tavistock propaganda outlet like Newsweek magazine or Time magazine or the LA Times or the New York Times or the Chicago Sun-Times, etc., they surely won't go outside of the parameters that the editorial top honchos set for them. They're not going to, first, the story's not going to be printed, but they're not going to raise the ire of their bosses and editors by going into areas where they know they shouldn't. So a lot of them willfully, intentionally keep themselves dumb and are perfectly happy to just have the money rolling in and play the game.
Mm-hmm.
However, though, now in 2009, the New World Order is definitely in its final installation stages. We don't have another 10 or 15 or 20 years leeway, as it were, for it to get, for the net to start, you know, getting tight and being hauled in. The net's being hauled in now. And what I expect to happen is that more mainstream people who are aware of the darker aspects of the game, who for financial job protection reasons, you know, haven't gone there in their own stuff, will peck at the edges of these stories now, because first, it's getting so obvious. The internet, quote, alternative media outlets are growing in such, you know, large numbers. I mean, who reads a newspaper anymore? I don't know anyone who reads a newspaper. I stopped reading newspapers long ago. Now, it's true. Once in a blue moon, I will pick up a newspaper when I go through it. I'm kind of surprised to see how they do cover some stories that I just wouldn't expect them to cover. But for the most part, you go to the internet, you can get the information much faster. But above all, you can get it from, you know, unsanctioned, unblessed, unanointed people like me or you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and of course, everyone who's got a computer knows that. You know, they don't need the permission of the New York Times or George Will of Newsweek, et cetera, or any of the other people who've been spinning and directing and guiding the thrust of the news for the last 35 years in the country. You don't need their permission to find out what's going on anymore. Just turn on the computer, and you're off into a whole land of alternative views. So the alternative view is growing by leaps and bounds in the computer, and they're feeling it. I'm talking about mainstream people. So if they just continue to live along with the hackneyed stuff that they typically put out, no one's reading them. Certainly, you can see newspapers are falling left and right in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It was just another, where was it? Was it in Chicago or Boston? I forget. Maybe it's Boston. Major newspaper just fell about a week or so ago.
Yeah, I think the New York Times is trying to snuff out the Boston Globe.
Okay, maybe that's it. I mean, that's a mainstream, you know, American newspaper. And I can't remember the name, but about 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, I heard about another major newspaper. Was it in Washington? Maybe it's in the state of Washington. Another big, long-time newspaper gone. Why? They're not getting advertisers because if there's no readers, why are you going to put an ad in the paper if you're not going to get any response on it? So yeah, a lot of them switched over to online, but they're still hawking the party line online. So a lot of people are realizing it's the party line,
mm-hmm.
and they're not paying that much attention to them. So yeah, you're going to see more mainstream people come into, let's say, the alternative world probably more and more, if for nothing else, just to get readers. Now, I also, though, don't believe that everyone in mainstream media, et cetera, are willing participants in assisting the New World Order to destroy the country. In fact, I would say that would only apply to the very highest echelons of a given organization, like the Times or like Newsweek. I'm talking about the owners, the people at the very top. They surely are willing participants. They are elites. They are, you know, members of the Bilderbergers or the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, or their other inside groups. Sure. That's a given. But all the people who work for them, no, they're not necessarily part of that at all, but they're they know what the boundaries of their job, what is expected of them. And if they step out of the boundaries, they're not going to have the job. They know that. So they want the check to keep on coming in, so they play along.
Yeah. Now, you know, if I can jump in here for a second.
Yeah.
You know, the New York Times is considered God in terms of these newspaper publications. Very little is coming out of Washington right now. Do you notice that? Very little out of the Washington Times or the Washington Post. In terms of this bird flu, swine flu, human flu combination created monster that that they're promoting, you hear conflicting reports from the international media as well. I read something early today that they're not reporting what's actually going on in Mexico, that there have been over 2,000 deaths. Now, you wonder if that's not just the intelligence agencies putting that out, because we've sort of nipped this in the bud from the outset. We said
yes.
That they're going to try to scare people into getting vaccine because the vaccines is their cash cow. They've all got stock in these companies that are manufacturing the vaccines, and we've heard all of this insane publicity about accidentally putting viruses in the vaccines. You know, the
yes.
Baxter scandal that came out a month or 6 weeks ago,
yep.
And then this pandemic hits. I mean, you know, this is absolute insanity that people can't even make the average person can't make the connection. Wait a minute. They were talking about there's going to be a bird flu or a swine flu, and then it comes out. I mean, how do they know this? They can't even predict the weather. Okay. even though they mess with it. And they certainly have messed up the economy, and they're lying to us about that as well. They lie about everything. And this is the underscoring point that I want to make on the show tonight. It's all lies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're infiltrating the alternative media the same way with the same lies, putting the obfuscation out there. And if you use your discernment, it's pretty easy to pick out some of the websites that are participating in this.
Mm-hmm.
And they are participating in the rumors. You know, we don't all have 100% of the truth. That's for sure. I've made mistakes, or I've been led to determine that something was a certain way, and then they pull a fast one and do something else.
Yeah.
Well, that's manipulation. And the bottom line is, I'm not going to stop saying that they lie, because that's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a lie. The people themselves are lies, who they are and where they're from and what they do and how they got where they are. It's all a bunch of lies. And everything they tell us, why are they going to start telling us the truth now? Really, ask yourself, why would they begin to tell us the truth? Because that's their end. In fact, they're just lying more and being corrupt more to try to hang on to what they're losing, what's slipping through their fingers, because it's melting faster than the World Trade Centers did on 9/11. Okay? That, you like that analogy. and it's spread out much further than the 8 miles of Shanksville, you know, Flight 93.
Yes.
And the money is actually less real than the aircraft that supposedly hit the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's made out of thin air.
Right.
And it's a debt instrument. It's an illusion. It's a system of smoke and mirrors. That's all it is. They're not going to tell us the truth, because there's nothing, no truth to tell us other than
right.
that they lie. Everything
right.
is fraudulent.
Right.
And I know you agree. So, that's not
well,
even
yeah,
a rant.
it needs to be, you need to repeat the chorus. There's no doubt about it. I was, listening to some of your shows that you had recorded last year and the earlier parts of this year, and finally took the time, and I had to reread my little instruction book for my MP3 player, which I got a couple of years ago, but I had forgotten how to load it with, you know, stuff. So anyway, reread it, and I finally got to listen to some shows that you had mentioned to me you were happy about at the time you had the interviews, but I didn't actually hear the show. But Phil McConnell, those two shows, that was just off the chart, Don. And in fact, many finally got to hear the show with Eric Orion that you did in early October, I believe it was, October 1 of last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was a terrific show. So anyway, I'm finally getting to hear your shows as I'm doing my work. I got my little MP3 player on. I'm listening to these shows with you. And your repetition of these truths and these insights and the reminders about the principle of what that the country is based on, the constitutional principles, etc. This is absolutely necessary to do, because even if people who listen to all your shows are not going to say, "Oh, I've heard that already. Come on, listen up." You're not going to do that, because it crystallizes, reinforces, and helps everyone, including myself. And, you know, I'm part of this deal to try to expose this stuff, but there's always someone else's presentation brings in information, emphasis, direction that I maybe never read, maybe it encountered. It just embellishes, it adds. You know, so we say preaching to the choir, but often the choir is there because they enjoy the preaching. So I find it to be not something that I ever get bored with. And you know, I'm part of the expose game. So if I'm not bored with it, I'm sure other people who aren't doing what we're doing are even more interested in it. So
yeah, well, we can't presume or assume that the same people are listening to the show every night. I mean,
absolutely.
We're grateful if we have a loyal listening audience that's you know, getting turned on by this message, and it's causing them to expand in their consciousness and open up their heart and letting go of fear, realizing that the more they understand about what we're talking about, regardless of the topic, the reason we're talking about it is to share what we found, share what we know to the best of our ability. We're not perfect,
right?
But by no means are we intending to hoodwink the public about what we discuss. And as things unravel, the bottom line, you know, if I go back 3 years when I first started calling into shows as a listener and sharing some of my research on what was going on in the financial community with the world's economics and the amount of corruption, I was told flat out by talk show hosts that no longer have their shows, by the way, or they've gone to a much smaller venue and have a much smaller listening audience. Well, I was told things like, "That's a fairy tale. That can't be true." Even people in my own family said this. And now you see the numbers. You know, the word trillion is used more than million and billion now, isn't it?
Yes.
The word trillion has taken on a whole persona of its own. Mm-hmm. And the word quadrillion, which I've been using for a couple of years, has crept up and even been quoted by some of the mainstream people in the economic world, financial advisors and brokers and bankers. They know that these figures are very real. Well, it's something difficult for people to grasp, and we have to account for the fact that there are new listeners coming on board, and they may be hearing this message for the first time, or they may have heard it from somewhere else. But what I'm seeing is the people that have been following this the closest, and you're one of them, the Christopher Stories out there, the Caspers that write the intel reports for Four Winds 10, and Some of the other people, there are some really interesting things I've seen on gold in the last few days too. And rents, you know, you get a mix of things from people and you've got to sort through it. And when you start to see a pattern, when you see that, that there's information that's coming from a different source and it fits the puzzle, it's like the missing puzzle piece. Maybe I've learned about some of these things from the research that I do and the things that I read from others. It all doesn't come from me, but I certainly cannot discount what I learned about the Wantagate funds that were stored in offshore accounts and the attempts to introduce it in the tax portion, which was $1.575 trillion. I mean, nobody could believe that. And these amounts of money that they've been playing with are in the quadrillions.
Yep.
Okay. It goes beyond the trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Don Harkins on a show almost 3 years ago said that he had calculated that it takes 31,170 years to count to a trillion, a second at a time. 31,000 years, just round it off. How long is that? That's greater than an age, you know, in this planet's history. And they've done this thousands of times. They've done it over 3,000 times.
Right.
That amount of money has been created out of thin air, and the rest of the world is not very happy with what our leaders are doing right now. They're not happy with the corruption. In other words, there's a point where even though all the corrupt societies around the planet cannot tolerate the level of corruption that's going on here. So I will be vindicated in my assessment of what's been going on. The question is, how many people are going to wake up before they lose everything they have? And that includes freedom.
Right. Well, the reason we're talking tonight and the reason we're having these shows is that I want to try to explore ideas or suggest ideas that others have also suggested. I mentioned to you before the show that I got to hear your shows with Carl Person. The only people who are going to save the Republic are people, ordinary people, who might be inspired by information they glean from the internet, from a radio interview archive such as this one, from the work that people like David Icke and the writings of Icke, John Coleman, etc., the people who have been internationally well-known names who have been exposing the New World Order game. And there's a lot of new people that come on board who have websites that are very well done. I've been led to people send me emails and suggest I go here and there. And when I do, I often find websites that have only been up for 1 or 2 years. But the depth and the width of the coverage is, you know, certainly everything that I have on my site. And in many cases, they've had the time to organize their stories and they embed videos, etc. Very well done. And more of these are coming online. It's amazing. Not only in this country, but I notice in England too. You know, the English, bless their soul, are having the New World Order shoved down their throats a lot faster and with a lot greater intensity than what we're having here. Not that, you know, we're happy what's going on here or in Canada, but those poor people in England, good Lord. I mean, those people are just being, you know, treated like they're caged rats. So I really empathize with, the English people. Their plight is even more desperate than ours is, but we always follow whatever England you know, gets going, you know, now they're going, you know, the national ID, and everyone's got to, you know, present their papers and cards, no matter what they want to do or where they want to go, and they're, you know, rounding up people, you know, good Lord, don't dream of going to a pub and, you know, and getting drunk, because, you know, you're going to wind up in some concentration camp. I mean, just beating people to senseless over there. The police are, and the British police, if you recall in earlier decades, I mean, the British police used to be the world symbol of civility and humane treatment of people. I mean, the British police never used to carry firearms. You know, the British bobby was well known. He was a walking diplomat, is what he was. And he used cunning and diplomacy and a calm demeanor and, a great attitude. You know, if you treat drunks or belligerent people in a way in which you're respectful towards them, you're not trying to belittle them, you're not trying to rile their anger, but rather you appeal to their humanity, you're going to be able to handle 98-99% of problem people in the street, whether it's homeless, whether it's drunks, whether, you know, there is a small dedicated core who are intent on committing violent crimes, and, you know, words won't work with them. You got to do something more. But that's not the majority. The vast majority of people are essentially in public who, you know, get arrested, are either inebriated, they're drunk with alcohol, they might be high on drugs, they might be young teenagers who are, you know, wild because of, you know, hormones, et cetera. You're at that certain stage. You know, you come out of the box as a teenager. You got to learn a few lessons about behavior. So you're wild for a while, you know.
Well, and, you know, during the G20 meetings that took place around the 1st of April, where Obama provided you with that wonderful picture that you've been doing. During that time, there was a protestation that occurred. You know, there were demonstrations going on the streets, and they were very orderly, and the police cordoned off certain areas and directed the foot traffic, the pedestrian traffic in a particular area. And there was a man who had left work, was walking through this area, and they just went up to him and beat him over the head and killed him on the spot.
Yes, I thank you. I do remember that story. He wasn't even involved
in the demonstration.
Demonstrator. And right, I forget whether they tasered him first, which is typically the way they're abusing people now in England. Of course, they're doing it here and in Canada and probably other countries now. It's really, we've talked about tasers last year, but that needs to stop. We need to, A, outlaw tasers, and above all, take them out of cop scenes. I don't want civilians to have them either, but the last person you want to put in is the hands of a cop. There was a story on Jeff Rensis just a day or two ago. Some man who worked in a prison system, I believe it was in England, and there was children going through the prison system on a tour. We're talking about 11, 12, 13-year-old kids. And this man, I want to call him an idiot, but I'll just call him a man. He wanted to, he said he had permission from the parents, but he wanted to show the kids what a day's work is like for him. He tased a couple of them. And of course they wound up in the hospital. 50,000 volts. He got fired. You know, you never hear that. I mean, I'm sure they would have torn down the prison and lynched the warden if they didn't fire this idiot. So they fired him, but his comments, I hadn't posted the story yet, I got it off front a day or two ago, but his comments were unbelievable. He's wondering, you know, why was I fired? I mean, heck, I was just trying to show the kids what it's like, and I already got the okay from the parents.
it's of course shocking because the man is too stupid to have a taser gun in his hand. He's too stupid to be doing this type of work. And unfortunately, a large percentage of cops who, you know, are giddy over using a taser are in the same mental framework. They don't understand the gravity of pain and the chances they're taking with that person's life, because they're absolutely frying his nervous system. And in all cases, in practically all cases, I shouldn't say all, but in most cases, totally unnecessary to be using a taser on people.
Oh, and they've put out documentaries on the Discovery Channel and the History Channel and probably the Sci-Fi Channel, where they're showing these cops in training, you know, in this taser training, where they lay on a mat. Or they're standing and where they're going to fall on a mat, and they give them a jolt, and then they use this excuse, well, the cops have been through this, as yes. if that justifies giving
as
it to the people.
That justifies using it on the people. And what the cops get is a fraction of what they're giving to people. Yeah, they give the cops a jolt for what? All of 2 seconds. All. I mean, I wouldn't want it. I'm sure 2 seconds worth of it, or 2-3 seconds, is horrible. But how about these people who they're tasering continuously, like this poor man who was stopped at that internal checkpoint in Arizona a couple weeks ago? Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Anderson, this pastor. He was repeatedly tased, and he wasn't resisting. He wasn't doing anything that justified tasing him. They just wanted to punish that man on the spot because he would not cooperate with their illegal demands upon him.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the Constitution better than they did, and that made him mad as hornets that he wouldn't just kowtow to their demands to search his car, to answer his questions. So they were going to teach him a lesson or two, and they just cooked that man.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily he's, you know, as a 29-year-old guy, he's in shape, he can take it. But how about some drunk who's in his 50s or something, who's, you know, got high blood pressure and so forth? He gets tased, you know, they often don't survive.
What about someone who's been through open-heart surgery or, you know, a coronary bypass?
Anything
or,
like that. It's
Had a stroke or, you know.
It's an abomination. We're not going to spend the show on taser abuse, but it's just one example of what the American public, ordinary people, type of people listening to the show, have to get involved in stopping the advancement of the New World Order. Now, one current advancement that was just brought to my attention a day or two ago had to do with an article that just came out concerning ACORN and census takers going from door to door in America, and if in the case of a census taker, they're presenting questions, but they're taking a GPS reading of each individual's house. They have a GPS meter with them, and when they go there, they're locking in the coordinates of that house in the GPS system and sending that back to the government. So every house in America now is being documented with its GPS coordinates by members of ACORN and these census people who apparently have already gone out. Now, here we're only in April 2009. The census is not supposed to be taken until 2010, which begins in January, the last time I checked.
And this is a corrupt organization that has been involved in money laundering. They've been involved in election fraud. They have ties, as I understand, to Bernadine Dorn and William Ayers of the Weather
Absolutely.
Underground.
Very, very true. So I remember when ACORN started. I'm well aware of how it started and what they sell to the poor inner city people, who they essentially indoctrinate to join into the is that, oh, yeah, we're going to help you get better neighborhoods. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to get better sanitation. It's a very nice package they sell to inner city people. I'm well aware of the package. I've heard it delivered on many occasions. But what they're really doing is that they are a a group that's mobilizing gullible people, unknowledgeable people, as minions who are essentially working to, install another agenda.
And that's going to result in a race war, guaranteed.
Well, sure, of course.
You know, that's part of the goal, although it's not spoken about that much. But that's secretly what that's going to be about.
So what I did is I posted this article that was forwarded to me by a couple people, and I included the article. But I included a little introductory comment at the top of the article saying that while the Constitution does authorize a census to be taken every 10 years, I said in my introductory, there is no law that compels you under, criminal indictment to comply with a census. But I can remember very well in the 2000 census, there was a definite full bore attempt to intimidate the public into thinking that you will be arrested or fined $5,000. I can remember that was thrown around a lot by mainstream media. I mean, they didn't lead with that story, but it was mentioned that, failure to comply with the census taken could result in a $5,000 fine and blah, blah, blah. That was not true at all. It was just a scare story that had no basis in fact at all. And at the time, I said on my website, I have no intention of complying. I'm not going to talk to a census taker. And there's good reasons for that. I won't go into that story now, but you are not compelled. Now, I put that up. I mentioned that if you own the property, you have every right to put up no trespassing signs on your property. And you could, if you wish, specifically alert census takers that they are not allowed on your property. If they enter your property, you consider it illegal trespass. You have the right to call up the cops and have a trespasser arrested. It's very important if you wish to take advantage of the law that exists. If you want to keep people off your properties, you must post no trespassing sign because the law requires it. But once you post it, then you are in a much stronger position to arrest. You can even affect the citizen's arrest, anyone who steps on your property without your permission. So if you have a sign posted, no trespassing, naturally you have to be the owner of the property. And if you specifically say on that sign, census takers are not allowed upon this property, and census takers who enter will be considered illegal trespassers. You have to give notice. But once you do, the cops are obliged to arrest somebody who violates your trespass. Now, of course, as a practical matter, you're going to have a hard time, but you have the law on your side. You must post, though.
Yeah, now, would that include a sign that said, forget about the dog, beware of owner?
Well, I know some people put that up in. But it's nonetheless the fact, if you want to enforce your property rights, you must post no trespassing signs in order to accuse somebody, have someone arrested for trespassing. You must post. So we can do that. Now, normally we don't do that in suburbia, but you have that right if you want to. And so anyway, I put that little note up, and so this is a letter that I just read 5 minutes before coming onto the show from a man. I'd like to take a moment to read it. It's quite short.
Okay.
Who had responded to my article, and it was of this very issue we're talking about. So let me just find it right here. And just give me a second. I'm going to get to this. Okay, here we go. I'll just give the man's first name. His name is Ryan. At this point, I'm not sure what state he's in, but I'll just read the letter to you. He says, Ken, this is unbelievable, exclamation point. Just today at work, I was reading your article, and I was spooked, needless to say. I asked myself why these people are doing this, because there is no logical reasoning. Well, suspicions aside, I picked up my daughter today and brought her home. I decided to do a woodworking project in my garage, and suddenly an old lady with a U.S. Census Bureau bag, and yep, you guessed it, GPS system in her palm, walked right up to my house and proceeded to type in her machine. I quickly stopped her before she could do anything and said to her that, first of all, she was trespassing on my property, and I do not want her there. All the while, I was being polite and addressing the situation with respect. She began to tell me that this was just a simple formality for the Bureau and that it wasn't an invasion of my privacy, exclamation mark. Right there, I stopped her and asked her how forcing and demanding questions out of me, which wasn't an invasion of my rights and of my privacy. And she quickly tried to back into an excuse that they need this information for, you ready for this? Google. I jumped on that reply quickly, I jumped on that reply with the statement that my house is already in the Google system, and there is where they can get their information if they needed it. So she asked if I wanted to file a complaint, and I said no. I just wanted her off my property and don't want her to put any information about me, this conversation, or my house into the GPS system, exclamation point.
1 second.
She decided to back away from the house and walk down the block. I watched her walk away, and when she got far enough away, she started typing something into her machine. I'm not sure where this is going to go at this point. The interesting thing is that she stated in the conversation quite subtly that I couldn't afford to not get signed up, exclamation mark. What the heck does that mean?
Before she left, a hidden cost.
Right. Before she left, she handed me a piece of paper that said, and I'll read it to you, quote, your sensors are confidential and protected by law, something misspelled there. All U.S. Census Bureau employees have taken an oath and are subject to jail term, a fine, or both, if they disclose any information that could identify you or your household.
So why are they taking this GPS survey then?
What? Right. We'll discuss in a minute. Let me just continue.
Okay.
This is I'm reading what the census lady had given to him, a printed piece of paper. Your answers will only be used for statistical purposes and no other purpose. And as allowed by law, your census data becomes public after 72 years. This information can be used for family history and other types of historical research. You are required by law to provide the information requested. These federal laws are found in the United States Code, Title 12, Section 9, 141, 193, 214, and 221, and Title 44, Section 2108. Please visit our website at www.census.gov/2010census and click on, quote, protecting your answers to learn more about our privacy and data protection. Thank you for your cooperation. The Census Bureau appreciates your help. And that, end quote. Then in the fine print it said, quote, respondents are not required to respond to any information collection unless, maybe he meant collector, unless it displays a valid approval number from the Office of Management and Budget. The approval number for the collection of addresses information in 2009 is OMB 0607-0809. Send any comments concerning the collection to Paperwork Reduction Project 0677-0809, U.S. Census Bureau, AMSD-3D-138, Paperwork Project 0607-0809 as the subject.
Wait, can I insert something? Okay, go ahead.
The approval number for the collection of personal and address information in 2010 is OMB-0607-0919C, and all of the 2010s is the same as 2009 with these numbers. Okay, and then the man finishes his email. So there is my story for the day. I find your website to be one of the best sources of information that has, in capital letters, the truth. Thank you, Ken. You dedicated hard work. Keep it real, Ryan. Okay, so yeah, okay, the comment you wanted to make about what the Census Bureau had to say.
Well, and I apologize for interrupting, but I'm like bursting at the seams.
Oh, yes, I know.
With laughter, and I mean, this,
oh, yes.
There is so much doublespeak in that. First of all, the guy, what is his name again? The person
Ryan.
That... I'm sorry?
Ryan.
Ryan, okay. Ryan has expressed the fact that he doesn't want this person trespassing, yet they proceed to trespass. He states that he doesn't want his privacy infringed, and they, in the process of infringing on his privacy, tell him that they're not. and the fact that if he has a complaint, he sends it in to the Paperwork Reduction Act.
Reduction.
I mean, and isn't that going to generate some paperwork? I mean, come on. It is so ludicrous. It's idiotic. So I just want to point that out to anyone that wasn't really following that, because that is boring language, you know.
Yeah.
And it's doublespeak, and it's nothing but a bunch of lies. Now, Google is the reason. Excuse me. What if a person does not use a computer? What if they don't use Google? What if they use Scroogle, you know, or some other search engine? There are some other ones too.
Well, what I want to drive home is this point. What we do, hopefully, in most of our talks and your talks with others, we have to emphasize the need for the public who are paying attention. You must think for yourself. You can't depend on the cop's explanation of what the law is or what the censor's explanation of the law is as the legitimization of their walking all over the Constitution and your rights. You can't look to these people who are representing the very forces that are oppressing you to give you the straight answer. So you have to know more about the law than they do. And this is why this is where the time has come in the evolution of this country. And the danger is such that every individual person, ordinary people, you can no longer not participate in resisting the New World Order. And the only way you're going to resist them, while we still have the courts and we still have the law, is you must know the law better than people who pretend that they are authorities about the law, whether it's a census taker, whether it's a bureaucrat at some government building, or whether it's a cop. You have to know the law better than they do, so you have a firm basis to resist their trouncing on your liberties. And in this case, I only briefly replied back to this man because I want to make a longer reply, but I essentially said that what the majority of the country doesn't know is what the so-called, well, there's different names for it, but the name that I first learned was, it was called the Redemption Group. This was around 95 or 96. I came across information about these people, Americans, who were fed up with being railroaded in court and started to look into the history. One of them is Richard McDonald. He's a wonderful man. He's right here in California. He's an older man now, but he's still going like gangbusters. I have a DVD on my products page from him. It's called Richard McDonald on State Citizenship. But he's just one. There's another younger man up in Canada, a guy named Robert Menard, who's also came up with a couple wonderful videos explaining how most of us have been snookered into this system in which we're essentially owned by the state.
Via a piece of paper, by the way,
we have effectively been dragooned, all of us, into the corporation of the United States of America rather than the state's the body. That known as United States of America with little u, little s. So anyway, we're all essentially been suckered into this via the use of our birth certificate, via the use of marriage certificates, via the use of Social Security numbers, and so that we're subjected to all kinds of licensing and regulations and above all codes. Because we are what is known as a legal person. The flesh and blood person is a sovereign. But we've allowed these people to snooker us, and now we're wearing the mantle of what is known as the straw man. Now, the people in the system will never say you're a straw man, but that's the correct name given to it. You are representing a corporate entity, which is called a person. So in the court system, the use of the word person is not the word you want to embrace, because in that system, that word means you are the straw man. You are representing this fictitious, made-up entity. But when you get, if you were indicted for something, even a traffic thing, you had to go to court, your name is delivered in all capital letters. That's representative of the straw man. You'll never see it with, you know, capital first letter and then your small. No, you'll always see it in all caps, because that's the way they distinguish the straw man representative from the natural being, which when you're in a court system, you would want to refer to yourself as a child of God or a human.
Your own person. Yeah. You know, if they ask you, according to your name, who you are, all you have to say is, I am me. I am myself.
Yeah. It's okay. The people who learn how to do this use their Christian name and their surname as a way to identify. So, for instance, they might say, I'm of the Anderson family, Christian name Stephen, for instance. So that you specifically send the signal to the judge that you know you understand the game, and that you're putting him on notice. You're staying in the sovereign side of the equation. Now, we won't get into all that because that's too big a topic to talk about. But what I want to drive home the point is you have to learn what the law is, and you particularly need to look into this whole aspect of having been suckered in to this straw man game.
Yeah.
And you gotta find out about this. So this code that this lady's referring to, I said in my reply to Ryan that once you're a sovereign and you're outside of that straw man, that code doesn't apply to you. That only applies to people who stay within that system, because codes are not laws. That's important to know that. They are statutory, let's say, rubber stamped edicts, but there are not laws that were debated and voted on by the legislature up or down. They were simply administratively approved. That's quite different from a law. And this lady is saying that you are required to answer this from code so-and-so. Well, first, I'm quite certain when I talk to people who are experts in this area, we're going to take that code apart. But beyond that, once you learn that you don't have to, if you can, you know, regain your sovereignty, and there's a number of ways to do that. A state citizen is the way Richard McDonald is approaching it. He's claiming his sovereignty as a state citizen of California under the founding constitution of California, which occurred in 1849. Now, they passed another constitution some years later, I think 1856, I'm just guessing. That's really the corporate constitution incorporating California. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that's the only one that the government wants you to know about. But the fact of the matter is that the founding constitution preceded it and trumps it. And if you learn what McDonald is talking about in his books and tapes and so forth, you can extricate yourself, or Robert Menard up there in Canada, you can extricate yourself from this system
mm-hmm.
and make it very clear to the courts that you are a sovereign. And believe me, they can't touch you. I mean, naturally, you can't commit crime, but I'm talking about you. They can't haul you in on motor vehicle violations and not having a license and not obeying the census code or obeying any other codes, because as a sovereign, you're not subjected to being ruled by codes.
Yes. Now, this whole process is carried out under a term which is actually used in how they justify this. They use the word reification or the word RAIF, if you want to pronounce it that way, R-E-I-F, the first syllable in reification. And the meaning of that word is to make something abstract more concrete or real. Now, if they're dealing with abstractions, then they're dealing with illusions, are they not?
Yes.
In fact, even the physical is an illusion. So it's all illusion. And this word reification, if something was real, it wouldn't need to be made to look like it's real or more concrete, to use that definition. Mm-hmm. It would be concrete. If it's real, it can't be more real. You understand? Because that to be more real or to be less real is showing that the word real, which is it either is or it isn't. You know, there's no level of or quality to realism. It is or it isn't.
Yes.
It's like the truth. You say the whole truth, so help me God, yet God is pushed out of the court. There seems to be a dichotomy in being required to make that statement. Or the whole truth. The truth is the truth. Yet at the very moment that we're taking that oath in court, expected to be forthcoming, forthright with what we say, everything that's being thrown at us is illegal. Mm-hmm. You know, so these are the things that we're trying to get people to wake up to, that you have
yes.
a vested interest. You don't have to be an expert in the law. You just have to understand how it applies to us.
Yes, but I want to emphasize. Yeah,
I was going to cite the title four, clause number one versus clause number two. Number one applies to the sovereign individual, and number two applies to the corporation. And they operate the law under clause number two. All we have to do is avail them, and you do this through freedom of information documents that you introduce as evidence. Once you do that, you've established a foundation to bring forth your argument, and mm-hmm. they will dismiss. There are cases being dismissed out of court in the
yes.
mail.
Yes,
respondents are getting letters from the court that the prosecutor has decided to drop the charges.
Yes, yes,
because these people have not bought into the contract. They're letting the court know that they do not accept the system's way of identifying us as slaves, even though it's called voluntary slavery, is what they call us.
Right. Yeah, this is a very good point, and I suppose you've done shows about this. It certainly needs to be ventilated a great deal, but it at least we're getting across the concept. This might be new to a lot of people who hear this interview. So that's why I want to go for the very basics, that you can get out from under the yoke of the state literally owning you and your kids, and then all of their earth-shaking requirements in which they're trying to intimidate you into complying with them, if you can establish the fact that you know the law and you have learned how to regain your sovereignty, they can't proceed, because there is always a remedy in law, although it might not seem that to be the case. There is a remedy in law, and as bad as these people are, even the ones maybe I shouldn't say most judges, but a hard percentage of judges know the game, what I'm talking about. They understand fully that they get somebody in court who is perfectly knowledgeable in this deal between a corporate straw man and a sovereign human, they won't proceed. Now, I've seen it a couple times firsthand, and I've heard from others who've been in court that what they witness. If someone knows, now what the judge doesn't want to know is he doesn't want to have all the people in court hear this guy explain all this, which the judge knows, in which the guy has the law on his side. So he doesn't want the audience in the court, the bailiff, et cetera, to be hearing all this. So he just dismisses it and tells them, you're free to go. Boom. See? Because that's just once in a blue moon he'll get someone who knows the score.
Or he'll hold the court, the case, he'll move it to the end of the docket for that day. Or
all kinds of things.
Yeah. A continuum.
I've heard all kinds of things. I've heard him dismiss the jurors.
Yeah.
In a jury trial, just get all the jurors out of the room, have this little conversation, dismiss it. They come back. Oh, you can go for the day. The case has been dismissed. They don't want people in the court system to know about this. They don't want to hear about this, because they might start saying, hey, you mean I don't have to do this? I don't have to do that? So believe me, a lot of judges know the score about what we're referring to. So anyway, getting back to the point. We're going to stop the New World Order by individuals, such as the ordinary folks listening to this recording, taking action themselves to stop it. Because the government isn't going to do it. The bureaucrats aren't going to do it. Your elected officials aren't going to do it. Everyone who should be supporting you, helping you, offering remedies, are not going to do it, because they're the ones who are minions in the machine installing the New World Order.
Well, it shouldn't even be happening. That's the bottom line. It shouldn't even be happening.
Of course.
It's just that they chose to do it, and they've gotten away with it. It's
right. Simple. So what you need to do is you need to know the law better than they do. And so that I've had a number of parents who don't want their kids vaccinated and are, you know, I've only answered a few of them because it just takes too much time. But I have them, you know, queued up, and when I have the time, I will post them. But when parents who don't want to have their kids vaccinated, I had another lady who just sent me an email. I haven't put it up yet, but I will answer it on my website. She doesn't want vaccination in the hospital. What are we going to do? Because the hospitals don't let you leave unless. So what I'm going to tell her, for the time being, what you can do is you don't have to have your baby in the hospital. There's something called midwives who know how to deliver babies at home. And they're trying to, the NWO is trying to put a kibosh on that they're trying to pass legislation. I think they just did it is it Idaho? In which they're trying to force the licensing of midwives. Now, what they'll always do is they'll run through their typical BS about it being for your protection, and you know the government approved, and since they'll willingly grandfather anyone in who's already an established midwife. It's going to be easy for midwives to go along with that, but they don't want to go along with that because there is no justification for them to accept licensing because they have complete legal immunity and right to continue to be a midwife without the state giving them permission to be a midwife. So they're really sacrificing a right that they already have by agreeing to this coercion from the state, which will probably go from state to state. Because as more and more people become aware of the fact that, A, they're going to inoculate your baby whether you like it or not, and whether you give your permission or not, they're going to microchip that kid. If you have a baby in most hospitals today, he's getting microchipped, and they're not even telling the parents. They've been doing this for a few years now. It just didn't start. And they're also demanding, and now if you say, hey, wait, I don't want my kid vaccinated. Well, I'm sorry, that's the law, you know. Now, if you want to talk to Child Protective Services, because, you know, we might consider this abuse of your baby by not protecting him. So what I'm going to tell this lady is, don't go to the hospital. And or another thought is, you got to start using your brains and take charge of your life and stop letting the government and bureaucrats run your life for you, which is what they're constantly trying to do. If I was in this position, I would make my pediatrician sign a paper in which he's absolutely taking guarantees that no vaccines would be given to my child. You get the hospital to sign a paper in which they'll absolutely rock guarantee your child won't be microchipped or any vaccine given without your prior written approval. Now, most hospitals won't sign that, in which case I would tell most hospitals, up yours, you're not getting my money or my insurance money. And if you can't find any hospital, don't have the child in a hospital. Have it at home with a midwife. If enough people stand up, like Ryan did to the census taker, they would start caving in on the edges. I mean, at first, when you have just one person trying to stand up to the school, no, I'm not going to have vaccines. Oh, sure, it's easy for them to just coerce you, intimidate you. But if a number of moms get together and as a group go talk to the principal or whatever the case is, say, listen, every state has an exemption. And whether you know it or not, we have the right to have our child go to the school without being vaccinated against our will. And what they do is, as a group, they say, now we expect you to abide by the law as it stands and not try to intimidate, typically the health department puts the pressure on the schools, et cetera. You do the same thing with the health department. Now, if you're a Norma Rae type and you want to go there on your own and roll up your sleeve and go toe-to-toe to them, you can do that. But it's far more effective when you do it as a group. And you organize. You call yourself the blah-blah group. And you start pulling people in. So instead of just being a group of 10 or 15, swell it up to 50, 60, 80, 100, 200, 300, and then start joining in with other school moms in other districts close to you and start forming into. Once you start organizing and you learn the law, listen, school principals, school nurses, health boards, et cetera, when you know the law, they back down. They always have, they always will, because they can't get big enough, get a lawyer to represent you. And the minute they try some, I mean, Len Horowitz went through this with his kid, his girl in high school in Hawaii, I think it was about maybe 2 years ago. You should ask him about it sometime when you do a show with him. But they absolutely tried to intimidate him to force his daughter to get vaccines to go to this high school. And he said, no way, Jose. So they had, you know, the health department. They wouldn't let her go to school. And Len won the day. I mean, fortunately, because he had, you know, the publicity behind him with his website and so forth. I mean, I put the story up on my site. But these people don't have the law on their side. We do. But you have to know the law.
Yeah,
you can't listen to what they tell you the law is because they don't know what they're talking about. Or they're just blowing smoke.
Yeah, they'll say whatever they have to say
exactly.
to keep
the
system
cops,
going. Yeah.
Exactly. Cops, for the most part, are the dumbest people when it comes to knowing the law that exists. I mean, the stuff that they make up is unbelievable. I mean, not all cops, of course, but the majority of them, they just make stuff up.
Oh,
they they figure you don't know. There was a guy in Santa Monica. I just got a story off the internet. It happened a couple of years ago. I was going to post it, though. But he knew the law about what you could do on the Santa Monica Beach and Boulevard and what you couldn't do. And they tried to intimidate him. It didn't work. He knew the law better than they did. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't have a lot of trouble because he was fighting them alone. And believe me, they put the screws to this guy. But he had the guts to stand up to them. And, you know, he won the day in the end. I mean, he went through a lot of hassle. But it's not going to be easy to stop the steamroll of the New World Order. But the alternative is we're going to wind up in FEMA camps. We're going to be a microchipped, enslaved population if we don't stop it. That's the reality, and this scenario isn't 50 years down the road. It's just around the corner. So ordinary people must get involved in this way. I'm not, you know, it's not necessary, you know, to shoot it out with them. What you have to do is why we have the courts. Use the law and the courts, and we could stymie them left and right. And then when this census taker, she's not part of the New World Order. She's just been indoctrinated with a lot of hooey, as they all are, as the Acorn people are. They're all being indoctrinated with hooey, and they're unemployed, so now they got a job. And
and this is being run by those that know exactly what they're doing, you know. Because
yeah, of course, they know what they're doing, but they're just using these people. Now, if you get enough people throughout the country who start really resisting this census imposition, the GPS, the questions, so that every house they go to, everyone's, you know, there's no trespassing signs in every place they go. People are refusing to answer the door. People are refusing to answer their question. The census takers themselves are going to start wondering, hey, what's going on? And then they're going to start being educated by the people. I mean, no one wants to willingly, I mean, you know, not people at this level, you know, on the minion level, wants to willingly participate in the destruction of this country. They just don't know they're participating.
Mm-hmm. Well,
in that destruction.
Yeah. And for the new listeners who are out there hearing this for the first time, and we have to account for those folks, what we're talking about are the idiosyncrasies involved in what our Constitution says about these issues, what the law actually says, and we're really talking about two aspects of the law, the real ones and the fictitious ones. And it's now those out there that are thinking to themselves or asking themselves or, you know, making these statements that we always hear, Ken, where they say, my government? Why would my government be doing that to me? Or, that's impossible. That could never happen in America. You always hear statements like that from these people. And it's because they don't know. They haven't been exposed to this. They haven't, they haven't heard it because they rely on what they believe is the reality of our government
right.
and our country
yes.
from the mainstream media, who is
right.
putting out nothing but propaganda and lies, exaggerations, fear-mongering.
We have all been subjected from babyhood forward
yes.
to continuous indoctrination into a series of falsehood and lies, as you say. I didn't realize that myself until 1995. I didn't know it because I hadn't ever read it anywhere or no one explained it to me. I read it in a book and my eyes opened up like saucers. But what the book said, it was the book by Bill Cooper, Behold the Pale Horse. What he had to say jived with what my own experiences were, though, what my own, you know, education, et cetera, told me. What he said fit perfectly with what I was actually experiencing.
And he was murdered, by the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A couple cops were assigned to take him out. So they set him up. They came on his property. They had a completely bogus reason for being there. Trumped up charge. and they just wanted to provoke him into a, well, what they claim is a gunfight. Now, we only have the two cops who killed him who are relaying the story, but supposedly Bill Cooper ran from his car, was firing at the cops. They fired back, and they killed him by the time he reached the porch. That's what the cops say. What really happened, we have no idea.
Yeah, I think I had read something a while back, a couple of years ago, that he was actually driving off the property, and it had a pretty long driveway.
Yeah, he had a long driveway, yeah.
And that they had stopped him there, you know, while he was leaving. In other words, they waited till he was out of his house.
Right, exactly.
And they tell the story the opposite way. He gets out and he's running, you know, shooting at them.
Yes.
You know, it's sad, and yet, when you read what this man revealed about what's going on around the world, and it's quite a bit. It's a lot to chew on, let alone to swallow. You can understand why he would have been taken out. This is not occurring just to a couple of people either. You have a rash of microbiologists that have been killed over the past few years. Several hundred now. It's into the
About 400, I think. The number.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Maybe I'm jumping the number. Is it 40? I think 40 is the number.
Well, originally there was a list of some 155 or so that were out, that was out a couple of years ago. And, of course, this has been occurring, but recently there have been 40. There was a rash of five or six a year or so ago. One guy disappeared. He made the mainstream news. They were looking for this guy. And, of course, these are microbiologists.
Yes.
They know things that are going on, things that are being planned. And now we're hearing about that stuff in the news. Obviously, we warned everybody about this. I did shows when I first started the show. One of my first guests was Dr. Larry Wayne Harris from the Ohio State University. And he's a microbiologist who wrote the book Biological Warfare.
Oh, yes. I was aware when he came out with that, actually. It was around the mid-90s, 95, 96.
And I have that book featured on my website. You can still get it. He disclosed many private conversations he had with former fellow students that went back to their homeland, Iraq or Iran, countries in the Middle East, and he would describe some of the things that were being planned internationally. And he would get these warnings, and he took it very seriously. This is what compelled him to write this book. Not just the work he was doing, but the work he found out, which was part of these black ops programs that eventually manifest in some kind of catastrophe around the world. Or at least the spreading of the rumor that catastrophe is going to come.
Yeah, I think that probably is close to the mark.
For the pharmaceutical company, so they can sell their wares.
Yeah, right. Because I just also posted some information. There's a wonderful man named Franz Ertl, who's in the Dominican Republic now. He's a therapist. He does wonderful work with people, too. He's a very sensitive individual, and he sent me some wonderful essays last year that I put on my site. I still have them under featured articles called Alien Influence. You probably read them when I put them up.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
He just recently brought to my attention, because we were putting up articles about the hoax of the so-called swine flu, the completely fabricated hysteria campaign the government launched into, you know, for about a week or a week and a half or so. And anyway, he sent me, you know, this wonderful article, which I put on my website already with pictures, and an interview by a Dr. Lanka, L-A-N-K-A, who's a German PhD, but he's a researcher in this area. He's a microbiologist. And what he had to say is it's just phenomenal. Franz sent me yet a second interview that was done in 2007, which I'm going to add to the paper I already put up, but man, this guy is just as sharp as attack. And what he points out is that there is no proof or evidence of all of these, you know, boogeyman diseases they've been trying to foist on us since when? Since the late 80s, if you remember, Ebola, you know, was going to ravage the whole continent of Africa first and wipe all, well, before that, of course, AIDS. You know, that came out of the box in 83, 84, 85, around there. And then by the late 80s, the CIA had developed this bug called Ebola. But it was virulent, but it was killing their own people. Even the CIA handlers were dropping like flies from it. If you remember that, was it in Tennessee? Is it Reston? Do I have the right?
That's in Virginia. Reston.
Virginia.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they had a lab there, and in this Ebola thing, which these people had fabricated, was killing their own workers there, and they had to quarantine the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was a big hush-ups thing, well, you know, like when a UFO crashes somewhere, they surround it and they have their cleanup teams, and you know, it's all, everything's blacked out and you can't fly over, you know, the whole nine yards. Well, they did that with that, and then they made some, you know, phony baloney movie about it, you know, as a cover story to account for it, you know, as they always do.
Mm-hmm. I read the book. I don't remember the name of it, but it was written by one of the female microbiologists that worked there. And it was a simian center. They were testing monkeys.
Yeah.
And the monkeys had come down with it. And she herself, the author of the book, tested positive as she was going through a sensor leaving the labs, and you know, they hose them down with the cleaning agents and stuff, and she sweated it out for a couple of weeks to see if she was going to come down with it. Fortunately, she didn't, but she felt compelled to tell this story. And yes, you're right. Basically, they sealed that building. And it's just sitting there. Now, we paid for that. We paid for all that work that was going on. We paid for the privilege, and we're paying for the privilege of being exterminated.
Yes. Oh, yes. This is quite true. I've heard you say this in some of these shows that I mentioned to you. I've recently been listening to and enjoying very much. We'll talk about this again privately. But you know, I'm really happy with the shows you've done. But yeah, that's true. We'll talk about that point. But anyway, I want to keep on focus on this idea that these diseases that they are trying to scare the bejesus out of people with, you know, AIDS. If I remember that hysteria, whole deal. Now, of course, I didn't know about the New World Order. I was buying whatever they were telling us, and man, everyone was scared. Oh my God, you know, we're all going to get AIDS. It seems, you know, they were trying to pump the hysteria. And if you got a needle trick of somebody, you know, from AIDS, you know, that's it, you're a goner, you know, it's just automatic. And then phony Peter Jennings, ABC News, or Barbara Wawa.
I was going to say Wawa, you were reading
ABC, and she would solemnly look at the camera and say, unfortunately, there is no cure for AIDS, with such solemnity. And then, of course, Peter Jennings with his AIDS quarterly updates to tell us how the disease is spreading. And we got to, Jesus, what a BS campaign that was. Well, of course, we're still here, aren't we? And the postulates that we were led to believe at the time that, oh, well, it's going to take off like wildfire with the gay community, but don't you heterosexuals think you're home free, because it's going to spread just as fast for your people, because this is a contagious virus, and once you get it, you're dead. You know, your only chance is to take AZT, and you'll be able to buy some time, you know, don't dare go off AZT, because you're a goner, if you will. The reality is you never start with AZT, even if you are confirmed
and
HIV.
And they put the ridiculous story out in the beginning that it's the disease was contracted from a green monkey. Somebody had
sex
with a green
monkey.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Now,
I mean,
So a preventative for getting AIDS would be don't dance with green monkeys.
Right.
First of all.
And of course, don't have sex with a green monkey.
Well,
either.
It can
be a problem because
I'm using it as a metaphor.
Yeah. I mean, 75% of people in Africa, you know, we're told, you know, has AIDS. And, what 75% of the people in Africa are flaming homosexuals who are going, you know, to these baths and so forth and, you know, having multiple partners and so forth. I mean, it's just ridiculous what they try to convince us. Now, of course, for someone who doesn't know, the bulk of the people, and there's a large percentage of black people in Africa who do have AIDS, and many have died, of course, is because they got the AIDS initially through vaccinations. The World mm-hmm. Health Organization, and Len Horowitz in his 1994 book, Emerging Diseases, has all the documents right there. If you want to know how the AIDS deal started, read Len Horowitz's book, because he published that book in 94.
And that actually goes back to 1972, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the contract started in the 1960s. The DOD contracts to develop the disease started in the 1960s. It involves the guy who took all the credit for discovering AIDS and became a multi-billionaire from the AIDS test, Robert Gallo, was the lead architect designer of the AIDS virus. He was working for the government. He was working for the DOD. I mean, the very guy who took credit for discovering it developed the damn disease. And this is what Horowitz makes crystal clear in his book. I mean, this guy should be, you know, ran out of town wherever he goes. But, of course, the public doesn't know that for the most part, unless, you know, you're savvy. Anyway, getting back to all the diseases that they try to scare us with, flesh-eating bacteria. Oh, my God, that was going to just, you know, oh, my, we had enough. West Nile virus, they tried to spray the hell out of California, New York, because suddenly this mysterious disease shows up. Hantavirus, which, you know, originally said came from a river in Korea. SARS, if you remember, the SARS epidemic was supposed to break out in the winter of 2004, and they even quarantined Toronto, Canada. They just shut down the whole city. Quarantine, red alert, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It never went anywhere, so they just had to relent because there was no outbreak.
And we had, for a number of years, the spraying of so-called Mediterranean fruit flies in Los Angeles County and the surrounding counties. I think it was in Ventura and Orange counties as well. They'd find one fruit fly, and they'd spray a whole city. And,
right.
and they were claiming it was malathion. Ruining cars, ruining houses, ruining people's gardens, and lawn furniture and whatever got hit by it. And we don't really know what they put in that.
Malathion itself is very destructive to the nervous system, so it's not good to breathe that at all.
Yeah.
But as you just said, what else besides the malathion? They tell us the malathion, but what other, what other things are in there? It's like chemtrails, you know? We've private individuals have done ground analysis of the fallout and so forth. And we've come up with a lot of metals. We've come up with desiccated blood. We've come up with 14 or 15 pathogens. But what about the things we don't have the equipment to analyze, you know? It's bad enough of the stuff we analyze. It's all toxic. It's all poisonous. It's causing droughts.
You can do that with foods and drinking water.
Exactly. It's contaminating food, drinking water, and, of course, our lungs by breathing it. But, of course, there's not a word. You know, Napolitano and that Richard Besser of the CDC, you know, are all over the TV networks a week or so ago talking about this alert ramp-up with this totally contrived swine flu, which they initially said in the first few days that there was 200 dead in Mexico, and 5 days later, it's reduced down to 7 or 9 confirmed dead. I mean, that's quite a jump. I mean, they're just making up numbers. So, again, we're pointing this out to say that people have to educate themselves, you have to know more than these liars and these propagandists. You have to understand that all of these bioengineered bugs are not going to devastate the public like they keep on saying, because none of there hasn't been one yet. That in this, Dr. Lenka has done a wonderful job in his interview explaining why these bugs aren't taking. I mean, he's in the business. And so we have to stop being frightened by their latest mysterious disease outbreak. It's all contrived. It's all hype. And as I mentioned in my article in referring to this, and it just needs to be repeated, the purpose of trying to drive these disease outbreak scares, these pandemic scare campaigns, etc., is a pretext to try to force mandatory vaccination of everyone in this country. And that, we aren't going there. That's where individuals have to realize that, like the census taker, you got to put your foot down and assert your rights. No one is going to vaccinate you against your will. And they've already had these states pass these sellouts in the state legislature. Pass these laws in which they're sort of mandating state inoculation, mandating being quarantined if you refuse to get vaccinated. We have to stop that right now. We have to go after. I remember they started this campaign, this state by state, in 2004 when they were using the SARS thing. And for a while it was taking, because one state after another was, but what happened is that when the SARS thing fiddled, enough local patriots on the state level started to rescind these state mandatory vaccination and or quarantine. And then the federal government came in with their own, you know, mandated deal. And this is where we have to get down to brass tacks when it comes to getting your state legislature to make it very clear to the federal government that we're not going along with martial law. We're not going along with mandated vaccinations, gun confiscation, ammo registration, or any of those other
forced
newer laws.
All of that, yeah.
Exactly. And that when and if it comes time, yeah, we're going to go for state sovereignty. And, you know, just dare try to come over the border with your UN troops and your Chinese and your Russian troops, because we're going to put something between their eyes.
Well said.
So the point I'm ramping this up is because we ordinary people have to save this country ourselves. And you got to start by resisting these impositions like the census takers, and resisting and organizing. You just can't do it on a one-to-one basis. And mothers have to organize to stop, you know, coercion of trying to get their kids vaccinated. They can do it. The law is already on their side.
Yeah.
And you name it, every area in which they're trying to coerce us to knuckle under to their dictates and mandates, the time is overdue to resist legally now. I'm not talking about, you know.
Mm-hmm. Even the animals.
Getting out your pea shooter.
Yeah, even animals, you know, there are I know people that are telling me, oh, I went and got my cat's shots and got an implant, you know, got a chip implanted. Now I don't have to worry about losing my cat. And I said, did you ever lose your cat before? I said, no. I said, could you find your cat when you took the cat to the vet? Oh, yeah. What's changed? What's changed? Now you have something embedded inside your animal, which is likely going to cause some kind of fibrous tumor or some kind of growth. It could even kill your animal. But you'll know where your animal is, certainly, I'm sure. There's nothing in that chip that can prevent the cat from running away. And if it hasn't run away, you don't require the chip.
Yeah. No, I'm totally totally against shipping animals, and they have ordinances now. It's like, I believe in L.A. County, if you have a dog or a cat, they're saying you must microchip that animal. And I, no way, Jose.
No.
And I absolutely wouldn't vaccinate an animal, and I won't microchip an animal. And, of course, the vets don't understand that. Well, it's only for the further protection. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
No vaccines. That's it. No vaccines.
Well, there are people and animals that have been microchipped that have had very strange growths take place around that chip, because those things emanate electromagnetic energy.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And I just, while the thoughts in my mind, prompted to remind me to say this. The microchip that you will get with any vaccine that you're going to get in this state, you just plan on it. There is a microchip in it. I think it was you who told me the story. There was some hospital in the Midwest in which they,
in West
the doctor
Virginia.
Was, oh,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. The doctor was overheard by a lady who was there as a patient that they had gotten these microchips. They're not going to tell you this, but the microchip is already preloaded in the needle itself, so that when they inject you with the vaccine, you're getting a nano-size microchip.
Mm-hmm. That patient actually overheard the doctor instruct the staff, our chips mm-hmm. are in, we're going to start giving them.
Right.
And this patient overheard that conversation, having gone down the hall looking for him.
Right.
And when he came into the room, the patient refused outright, without it even being brought up, just said, I'm not getting microchipped. And the doctor's response was, oh, we're not going to do that today, or we don't have to do that today, implying that it would be done at some point in time.
Yes, yeah. And he's also implying it's going to be mandatory. So, yes, of course, that's where they're going. That's why it's necessary. You need to be aware of this, though. It could very likely the doctor who's giving you, I mean, it's possible, the doctor who's giving you the vaccine doesn't know the needle's preloaded with a microchip. Not everyone is in the loop. Don't assume that. I mean,
well, that could be the whole purpose behind this census survey mm-hmm. that they're taking,
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
that they put the GPS coordinates in there so that when they give you the microchip, it will be programmed with those GPS numbers.
Of course. I mean, they can use those GPS for all kinds of nefarious reasons.
Yeah.
Once they got the GPS coordinates, obviously, anyone in the government who wants to zero in on your location, you know, knows exactly. They can send a helicopter. They can hit you with microwaves. They can send a missile into your home if they wish to do it the Gaza way. So, you know, there's nothing but bad news that's going to result from GPS marking your house, because after they do that, you're going to be forced to take a mandatory vaccination for a completely contrived disease outbreak. And then you're going to be microchipped. And you might, I mean, there's more than an even chance that you're going to get stuff in the vaccine that's ultimately going to do you in.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember, how did the Gulf War veterans from the first Gulf War, in the winter of 90 to 91, why did 200,000 of them approximately come down with Gulf War syndrome? Because of the burning oil wells or other nonsense the government tries to spin? No. They were given vaccinations. Special vaccinations to some of the troops that went to Gulf War.
Yeah.
They wanted to see how fast the disease manifested, how fast it spread with family members and so forth. Just like all the people who got AIDS in Africa got it from the World Health Organization's smallpox.
And it produced many birth defects. But, Ken, we're out of time, so
okay.
it's been interesting.
Again,
we can pick this up on your visit next week.
Yes. That's the nature of these talks. They're just freewheeling chats, and it goes where it goes. But I really appreciate the opportunity to express my thoughts, and above all, to hear your thoughts.
Well, I want to encourage the listening audience to visit your website. It's a repository. It's a library of information, actually, at educate-yourself.org. And I want to share with you, Ken, since you appreciate the show so much, I've got some new guests coming on, some repeat guests, Michael Anthony tomorrow, Jim Murray on Friday. Next week, I have Sam Sewell from the AmericanGrandJury.org organization will be with us. He's the national spokesperson, and he's a very good writer. I want to send you a link to a piece that he's written that is just off the charts. And he's independently come to some of the same conclusions about Barack Obama and this documentation issue that I and some others have, including yourself. I've got Dr. B on next Tuesday. He's going to be talking about parasites, and he's quite expert at getting rid of them and building up the immune system. Greg Pappas and I will be talking about some of the issues, the legal issues that you and I discussed. You'll be with us Thursday, and again, Jim Murray. Now, aside from that, I'm going to be on three other shows off the network, but they don't mind my sharing this. I'm going to be on Greg Evenson's Voices from the Heartland this coming Saturday, the 9th, from 1 to 3 p.m., and that's Eastern time. That would be 10 to noon Pacific, and those of you in the middle, you know how to figure out the differences. That evening, or later that afternoon, I'm going to be on Michael Herzog's American Awakening show for 2 hours from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern time, and that would be from 2 to 4 Pacific. Then Monday, the 11th, I am subbing for Michael's show on Liberty News Radio for 3 hours from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern, or from 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific time, and still doing my show at night. It's going to be a very interesting weekend and beginning of next week for me. I'm going to be doing quite a bit of radio. And we're going to be talking about the article that I wrote, The Three Stooges Go to Washington, Part 6, which is the analysis of the photoshopped history, genealogy of Obama, another fraud. And I'll probably be discussing that also on Michael's show. But it'll be interesting. A lot of things will come out. So I want to have listening audience tune into those shows, of course. And one will be on RBN. I should mention that. Greg Evenson's show is on republicbroadcasting.org. Michael Herzog's show on the weekend, that's on Saturday, will be on oraclebroadcasting.org. And then I will be on libertynewsradio.com on Monday. So got a plate full there. I'm looking forward to getting this information out and having people, if you haven't read the Three Stooges series, you should read it. It'll give you motivation for taking care of the business that Ken and I talked about tonight. No one's challenged this information. I don't think you can, because it's a combination of intuition and very dogged research, and then analysis of all of that. And, Ken, you've been very helpful. I'm waiting for some magnifications that you're going to do.
Yes, I'm gonna follow up. I mean, I know what you're waiting on, and yes, I will take care of that for you. I'm sorry it's taking a while, but
I'm not hounding you about it. I'm just letting the listening audience know.
There's more coming. Yeah. Okay.
So a lot coming up, and we'll be talking about some health issues with Michael Anthony tomorrow, and Lord knows what we'll talk about with Jim Murray, but it'll be great and science oriented. Right. So I want to thank you for being on the show. Hope you have a chance to listen to those extra shows as well.
Yep, I've made notes. Thank you.
And it's time for us to say goodnight. So I want to say special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. And join us again tomorrow night for another episode of Evident Footprints on BDSRadio.com. In the meantime, wish you a nice show. Peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
Problem.
State your problem.
Picking up transmission from Mars.